Please turn to Psalm 15. When I first became a Christian, after a while I discovered Psalm 15 and loved it because it's so straightforward. It asks the question, who gets close to God? That's the question. It asks, who will abide in the tent of God, His tabernacle? There is where God, that's His house. Who's going to be in His tent with Him? Who dwell on His holy hill? Abide, dwell, long term, as a way of life. Who walks in fellowship with God? That's the question. And then when we look at you see, it's God Himself who is asked the question, Lord, who shall abide in Thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in Thy holy hill? Now you get a series of short, straightforward answers. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. Now, to me, all those are pretty straightforward, understandable answers. I know what it is to backbite. I know what it is to hate somebody, what it is to honor somebody, what it is to walk uprightly. But the last part of verse 4, I did not understand when I first read this verse. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. And that's where I'd like us to pause tonight. Let's begin with prayer. We thank You, Father, for the Word of God and the gift of prayer. And we ask for Thy grace to be with us and with all who can come and all who are not here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Who can tell me what it means, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not? Yeah, there it is. Keep your word no matter what. You swear to it, you commit, you pledge to something, you do it. Even if it hurts, even if you made a mistake, even if it costs more than you figured on, even if it's a high price to pay, you committed, you stick to it, right? That's part of maturity. That's part of being a responsible adult. That's what you want to say to husbands. Whoa, I didn't think marriage was going to be all this. Well, you're committed now. Yeah, it hurts, but you're going to stay true to your commitment. Same thing to wives toward their husbands. Same thing to parents who are rearing children. Same thing to people in a church. Many applications for a contractor. I once made a bid on a house to paint a house, and it just turned into a whole lot more work than I had counted on. Sometimes contractors will come back, and they'll say, this is costing way more. I need to adjust my price. And maybe if you just gave an estimate, that's acceptable. But to me, if you made a bid, you say, this is what I'll do it for, you stick to your bid. Well, I'm going to lose money. Then you lose money. You swear to your own hurt and do not change. You change not. So, this also has an application to our prayer life. We're at the end of the year, and at the end of the year, we make pledges. We make New Year's resolutions. We reevaluate, am I doing what I should do? Are there things I can commit to? Certainly it's that way with prayers. Our impression in the Scripture is that people who are spiritually powerful had made prayer commitments. Can you think of somebody in the Scripture who clearly was committed to a system of prayer? Daniel. He had certain times in the day, and everybody knew it. I think he had a certain place in the day, too. He went to his prayer chamber, and he prayed this and this and this time. Can you think of somebody else? David. In the book of Psalms, he says, morning, noon, and evening, I pray. I think it's a good thing to have the discipline of prayer. Otherwise, you find yourself gone through the day, haven't prayed as you should. It's good to have a commitment in prayer. I'm just going to give a very simple message based on this verse. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. So here we find three lessons. Honorable people of prayer have committed. He that sweareth to his own hurt, sweareth or vowed, pledged, promised. It all indicates a decision has been made. Have you made a decision on how you're going to pray? Or is it just catch as catch can? You just sort of feel like praying, or you're normally, you pray when you get up in the morning, pray at meals, pray when you go to bed at night. Or do you have a certain length of time, bare minimum, you're going to pray for at least this amount of time this evening, or this day? Or do you have certain topics and you're going to pray for these things? Have you committed? Okay? The kind of person who dwells in the presence of God, who abides in His tabernacle, is a person who sweareth to his own hurt, who sweareth, who makes commitments. And surely one area of commitment is prayer. Okay? What can you commit to? One category is what you're going to pray for. Another category would be when you're going to pray. And you may even have one where you're going to pray. Some people find value in having a prayer closet, have a meeting place with the Lord. Sometimes a family has that. They call it their family altar. And you can combine that. Family, 6 o'clock every morning, we're going to meet in our prayer, our family altar, and we're going to pray to the Lord. So these are very simple commitments. But they are commitments. What are you going to pray for? Do you have certain things that you're committed to pray for every day? I do. I know some of you do. Every day, you have pledged you're going to pray for this situation. Okay? It may have to do with self. And you think, as you go on to the new year, something you should pray for concerning yourself. Has the Lord been speaking to your heart about some area where you need to bolster up? You need to improve. This is the year you're going to find victory. This is the year you're going to pray for opportunities to witness to others. This is the year where you're going to learn how to abide in Christ. You know, I spoke on that the other week, Sunday school, and I got the neatest text from somebody in the church who said they got it. I talked with them after Sunday school. Couple who said that's their heart's desire. They want to learn how to fall back into the arms of Christ. They want to learn how to abide in Him and find that peace that passes understanding. Then I got a text a few days later, and this person said, got it. It happened. It took. That's really neat. I mean, is there an area where you can think of maybe you want to come into sweeter fellowship with God? So that's one of the things you might pray for. Self. Of course, another category, what are your burdens concerning your family? Praying for godly spouses. Your children are young, it's a good time to pray. Years go by, hurry, pray for that wife to be, that husband to be, many years before it happens. Maybe you pray for daily protection, like Job did for his family. That God put a hedge of protection about them, that the Satan not have his way with them. Don't presume that anybody is beyond the capability of falling into deep sin. But I think that self, family, can you think of something, oh, God be praised if you would, that you are willing to be praying for daily concerning our church? Oh, that we would be holy. Just that individually, and corporately, we would have a burden for holiness. Love to have that. Or that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened, that we might know certain things, that we would grow in love. Pray for your pastor. Love to have that. very much would appreciate somebody who's committed every day praying for the pastor. Another category might be lost. Lost people. There's somebody you have a burden for their salvation. Another, I really probably should put this first, because the Bible does say, pray first of all for people who govern you, those in authority. I just want to give a simple message here. A person who abides in the tabernacle of God, who dwells on His holy hill, is a person who has sworn to something. And one area would be in the area of prayer. That makes sense, doesn't it? How long are you willing to pray? And when it comes to time, I think we should think about length of time. And also, what's the right word? Times of the day. It's really poorly worded. But certain times of the day, and this doesn't have to be for 365 days. You said, let's try this for a week, and maybe we'll come back and adjust. Maybe it was too much, hoping too much. Or maybe it's the other thing. It was, I can do more than this. But maybe you'll revisit at some point. But what would you be willing to pray for as far as the length of time each day? I'm going to pray a minimum of, can you say 15 minutes? Is that too much? Is that too little? Could you say 30 minutes? How about for this next week, I'll pray a minimum of an hour a day? Whatever stretches you, I think, and not like the length of time itself earns the blessing of God, but there's blessing in devoting oneself much time to God in prayer. So length, and then the times of day. Morning, noon, evening, or when you're in the car, or whatever fits your schedule, when you're washing dishes. But what, when, and you might have a where. You have a certain location that becomes your place, your meeting place with God. Oh Lord, who has constant fellowship with you? People who make commitments. That's what the sweareth part is here. People who decide. And so I'm challenging us all here. Would you make a decision tonight as far as how you're going to pray this upcoming year? Okay? Committed. Second feature from this verse, the person who has committed and a person who has counted. And by that I mean counted the cost. Let's go to Luke chapter 14. In fact, if I could assign a few verses here, we have this one. It's Luke 14, verse 28. Would somebody look up Matthew 8:20? And then somebody else, Matthew 10:22. And then finally, Acts 21:13. Who would look that one up for me? Thank you. Okay, first of all, though, we're in Luke 14:28. Jesus says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this goofball committed to a project and didn't know what it would take to finish it. And they laugh at him. The goofball is not King James, but get the idea there. Which of you, meaning everybody does this. Who wouldn't do this? If you're going to build a tower, significant project, you sit down first and count the cost. See whether you have sufficient, that is like enough, to finish it. So, we count the cost. We don't say blithely, I'm going to pray 6 hours a day. You counting the cost? Something's got to give. Something's got to give if it's an hour a day. And it is going to cost. If there's one thing we learn the longer we live, virtually every good work costs something. Almost always it costs more than you figured it would cost. Doesn't it? Things come up. This gets broken. You got to go do this as well as do that. The people are ungrateful. You run into another problem. It's just the nature of good works. They almost always cost more than you initially figured. And so you figure that in. And if you're not willing to take some pain, be engaged in other people's life, then you won't be a good worker. And so we're told here that a person who abides in the presence of God is somebody who sweareth to his own hurt, meaning hurts come. Welcome to life. What kind of hurt might there be related to committing to a certain prayer life? Have you counted the cost? Do you think it's going to be all easy? Well, I didn't know my back was going to hurt. I didn't know I'd have to give up watching the show. My knees are hurting me. This is too long. Okay, those are, well, you committed. What do you think it was? You're only going to pray if you can lie down on the couch and just sort of relax and it just comes easy for 3 minutes. Come. This is work. There's pain. Rise up and be. Quit ye like men. Yeah, it's work. There's pain. There's trouble. Let's go to, see, who did I ask to read Matthew 8:20? What is Jesus communicating in that verse? Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. Son of man hath not where to lay his head. What is he telling you? What's the theme to a disciple? Discomfort, right? Oh, I'll follow you, Master. I'll follow you wherever you go. Well, you better be ready for this. You may not have a pillow to sleep on. It's rigorous. Being a disciple requires pain. You may wake up with a neck ache. If you come to a point and say, I'm out of here, didn't figure it's going to cost me anything. Count the cost. You may not have where, you may have less comfort than animals. You won't have a home, is what he's saying. Foxes have homes. Birds have homes. You may not have a home anymore. Jesus gave up, so to speak. He willingly yielded to whatever the Father wanted, which meant no marriage for him, no home for him, sojourner. You may have a rock for a pillow if you follow me. Okay? It costs. Matthew 10:22. Okay? So, physical discomfort, emotional discomfort. People may hate you. Are you willing to pay that price? That's what it is to be a Christian. The more you like Christ, the more you'll be hated. And there is an emotional price to pay in praying. You may agonize in prayer. You may find you're wrestling with the devil in prayer. You may find yourself being taken places you hadn't anticipated in your prayer life. Many times we have this kind of a warning. Acts 21, verse 13. We're going to die. He's committed to his own hurt. Whether it be lose my home, have people hate me, or I die. But a person who's going to abide in the presence of God is going to be a person who makes commitments and he sticks to them, even though it's going to cost him. Are you willing to do whatever God would have you to do? People of prayer have committed and they have counted the cost. Now, I apologize ahead of time because there's got to be a better word than this. But I'm looking for alliteration. So I'm choosing the word clamped. Committed, counted, and clamped. Clamped down. Will not move. Changeth not. I admire a person who hangs in there and is loyal and is dependable, can be counted on. He stays true. We're encouraged by people who you can count on. There's some people where, well, you kind of hyphenate the name. I was thinking this about nightly news. Not that I watch it much, but like ABC or NBC. It's sort of like NB, you won't believe what Trump is doing now, C news. It's like, what do you know them for? You won't believe this. You know what he's doing now? You won't believe that. Always finding some negative way to report on him. Well, I think we can hyphenate some people's names concerning what you can count on me. John, don't count on me, Smith. But Mary, count on me, Jones. You know, is that a part of your name? You can count on me. You know they're going to be there. You know they're going to be loyal. You know they're reliable. They won't change. Some people are rudderless. They go adrift. And you don't know from week to week. But we're looking here, the kind of people who abide in the presence of God are people who make commitments. They swear to something. And they count the cost. Whatever the price is that arises, they are clamped down. They do not change. I'm asking tonight for prayer commitments. And not ones where, 5 days later, it's like all New Year's resolutions, already history. No. No. If it was unrealistic, then dial it back. But you stay true to praying to God. You know, Jesus told a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's the will of God. You and I always pray and don't faint. This is the will of God. Would somebody else look up a verse for me? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Who's got that one for me? Somebody who hasn't read yet. If she would go a little farther, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Do you mind reading Philippians 4:1? I'm just pointing out by these three verses, welcome to Christianity. Christianity is, you pledge to something, you stick to it. You stay faithful. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So steadfast, locked, won't be moved. And that's the summary of this letter to the Corinthians. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know certain things, maybe the Lord, not in vain. He says something, if that's not enough, he's at the end of the letter going to say it again. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Stand fast. Not moving. Locked down. Clamped down. No, we as a family, we have committed to a certain prayer life. We're sticking to it. But it hurts. It was too ambitious. Well, next year, or whatever the time period is we committed to, we'll adjust. But we committed to this. We swore to it in our own hurt. We're not changing. We change not. Stand fast. Act like a man. That's what that means. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Notice, he dearly beloves, it's a sandwich there, front and back. He loves them. I love you. I know this is asking a lot. I know this is the challenge, but this is it. I love you. If I love you enough, I'm going to say to you, here is the hallmark of a true Christian. Stands fast. You stand fast. Who is it who abides in the presence of God? Somebody who has committed to something, even if it hurts, he changes not. Clamp down. So I would like to encourage each of us to just pause for a minute and think this through. What am I committed to praying for as a regular prayer? Well, I know it's biblical to pray for fellowship with God. When will I come and appear before my God? I seek God. That's prayer life. For the family, for other Christians. We know there are things that we should be praying for regularly. Protection from the evil one. more and more light in the soul, opportunities to witness to others. God, be merciful to our government, our nation. God's grace and blessings to our church. Swear to your own hurt. Can we commit to what we're going to pray for? What's the minimum amount of time? When are you going to pray this? Otherwise, you're going to find yourself lying down in bed at night and go, oh, I missed it. It takes rigor. It takes discipline. It really does. What would you commit to? I'm thinking about a length of time. And just encouragement, it's not an edict here as far as committing to a time. Sometimes it helps to say, can you give at least 5 minutes a day to praying for a certain issue? Is that too much? Could you give 10, 15, 20 minutes minimum prayer for a day? Could we try something aggressive for, let's say, a week or through the new year of a half hour or an hour? Find a way. Calling for a commitment of what, when, where. And a real commitment, will you do this to your own hurt and change not? Father, we pray for grace. We know it is the will of God that we pray to Thee. Jesus taught a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We are to pray without ceasing. So we ask for grace to give the discipline of prayer what it is due. The consideration, guided by Thy Holy Spirit, of what we can do as prayers. We pray for Thy grace and blessings to attend. In Jesus' name, amen.